What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Fantasy Bomb on Road to Baller. It's draft day, and finally we have something that sort of resembles actual sports. It's not a game, but hey, we'll take it. I mean, Chris, this is pretty much, I mean, it almost feels like Super Bowl Sunday, right? I mean, that's how excited we are to have something sports related that's actually happening live, right?
Yeah, it feels good. I typically don't watch the draft. I mean, I will. I'll follow it, but I won't just sit there and watch the draft. But I have been sitting here watching the entire draft so far.
Because, I mean, it's not like there would have been football at this point anyways. I know you're not a baseball guy, I mean, but there's been no NBA. There's been no nothing. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting, I'll say. It's funny, I always used to watch the draft. I remember before it was a big deal. I guess maybe this was back, I'm talking about like the 90s and early 2000s. Before it was this big spectacle on TV, right? Nobody really sat and watched it all day except for the hardcore, you know, football junkies. So I remember watching and making a marathon of it because it wasn't spread out over 3 days either, right? You just sit and just watch and soak it all in. Yeah. And now it's just such a big, you know, almost overblown deal. I almost, it makes me want to watch less, you know, because there's more hype than substance. And I don't have necessarily three full nights to devote to it. But, man, I'm going to watch this whole weekend, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and by the way, before we, because we are 15 picks in, right? Or actually, yeah, we just had the 15th pick when we're starting this. We just had Jerry Jeudy picked by Denver, so second wide receiver off the board.
All right, there you go. So you guys know, we're doing this live during the draft. We waited until after the draft was halfway through round one because, as we anticipated, they would spend about a half hour talking about the fact that they're doing the draft online. Before they picked anybody, and we already knew who the first pick is, and you don't want to watch us talk about linemen. So we're going to recap some of the major picks so far. First round is not over yet, but we're going to talk about the headlines. So let's get into it, and I guess we got another one to add on here, right, Jerry Jeudy. But let's talk about pick number one. I feel like this has just been overlooked just because this is the least exciting pick because we've known who it's going to be for months. But we can't skip over Joe Burrow. So Burrow is now officially a Bengal. Nobody traded up, thank God, to take him number one. The Tiger King, I feel like there couldn't possibly be a better nickname, right? And it's just appropriate, right? The Tigers and now the Bengals. So what do you feel about Burrow in fantasy terms? Because obviously the Bengals are a big mess, but I mean, a lot of that not necessarily the fault of the quarterback. Andy Dalton isn't, you know, solely to blame for all the Bengals woes. Sorry, Bengals fans, but... how do you feel about Burrow? Do you think it's legit? Because again, obviously the numbers speak for themselves from last year, but this is just 1 year, right? So there is a concern that maybe the fact that he was on this stacked team, right? All these offensive weapons, you know, in the SEC, it's not quite the same. So what's your gut telling you about Burrow? Is he a franchise guy or not?
I mean, I think I lean more yes, but that definitely is, I mean, when you look at what he did his junior year, and then what he did his senior year, it's so strikingly different that you have to wonder, was it the system? Like, was it more of the system, or did he just develop late? Did it just take him a long time to become that good? But I mean, I certainly think he's worth the number one pick just based on what he did last year. And when you look at him from a fantasy perspective, he's actually got a pretty good roster around him, assuming AJ Green is healthy and plays 16. You got AJ Green, you got Tyler Boyd, you got Joe Mixon. They've done some nice things to that offensive line in the offseason. So I think, like, you look around at that offense and there's weapons for him. So he should be relatively successful. I could see him kind of being around what we saw fantasy wise from Kyler Murray last year, or maybe even a little Daniel Jones-ish, as far as like he's going to give you some really good games. But he's probably going to have some stinkers in there too.
Yeah, I mean, definitely can't expect consistency from a rookie, especially on a team that's obviously not at the top of the pack here. But I think that's probably the best comp, Daniel Jones. He's not quite as athletic on his feet. He'll scramble a little bit here and there, but maybe a little bit stronger arm. And I think that's probably fair to say. There are going to be some good games. There are going to be some bad games. And you got to realize, and of course forgot to mention John Ross, and that, how could you forget John Ross, that receiving back. But AJ Green, I mean, if he's healthy, he's got a top flight receiver there, right? And then Boyd, you know, solid. He got a burner on the outside. It'd be nice if they had a tight end who could catch passes because they don't have any tight ends right now, but they might draft one. We'll see on day two or day three. But it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I was skeptical, I'll tell you, all year, because even in college, when he was doing what he was doing, I was like, okay, where did this come from, right? You don't just miraculously develop into the best quarterback in the world when last year he did nothing. So I'm a little skeptical just because, like you said, the system, people gave a lot of credit to the offensive coordinator, the quarterback coach, and of course he had a lot of talent on that team. But, I mean, just the way, the level, the way he played was ridiculous. So
it was, and I'm not comping him to Daniel Jones. I'm just saying – yeah, I'm just saying fantasy scoring wise, it could be similar to what we saw. I'm not saying he's Daniel Jones 2.0 or anything.
Right. No, definitely. We don't want to get any people ticked off already. So the next pick, not an offensive player, normally wouldn't talk about in fantasy. This is, of course, a fantasy show, but this is a Redskin. And I notice you're surprisingly without your flag. It just disappeared all of a sudden on draft days. This is like a sign of shame. Are you like forsaking your team because they didn't trade up or trade down, or I don't know what's going on here?
I mean, I wouldn't want them to trade up for one. I would have been okay if they traded down. No, it's just, I'm watching the draft and where my flag hangs, there's no TV. So that's why I have the plain brown background today.
Okay.
But I wore like a Redskins color shirt. It's not a Redskins shirt, but at least it's Redskins color. So.
There you go. See, if you have Redskins wallpaper all over your house, and that solves that problem.
Pretty sure my wife would kick me out.
Okay. You're a smart man, if nothing else. There you go. I'll reveal my shirt in a second, obviously matching somewhat my flag here. But we're not there yet. We got to talk about Redskins here. Now, Chase Young, some people think he's generational talent. Some people think maybe not stout against the run, maybe not proven enough to be a guy who can, you know, overpower offensive linemen in the NFL, right? That his speed maybe isn't going to be enough. What's your take on him? How do you feel about this pick? And then talk about fantasy. Is this a difference maker in IDP leagues? Is this a guy you want to draft right away?
I think he's going to be great. I do. And I don't really care if he can't stop the run, because that's not how you win in the National Football League these days. It's all about rushing the passer. It's all about the passing game. On both sides of the ball, right? You got to be able to throw the ball. You got to be able to stop the pass. And an edge rusher is one of the best ways to stop the pass, because you put pressure on the quarterback. You disrupt his timing, right? You don't let the runners, the receivers run the routes, etc. The thing is, though, even if he's great, I still think the pick here was Tua, because Chase Young becomes, let's say, a Hall of Fame defensive end, does that change the trajectory of this franchise? Defensive line was not a huge weakness for them. Like Chase Young isn't suddenly gonna make them close to a perennial contender. You draft a franchise quarterback, and it's easy to build the rest of the team from there. It's easy, right? You've got the hardest part out of the way. You can draft an edge rusher next year. You can get an edge rusher through a free agency, whatever. You're not going to get a franchise quarterback through free agency, right? Teams aren't just giving up their franchise quarterbacks, right? So that's why I think the pick is Tua. Now, I do think Chase Young will be a very good player. I think he's got to be, in a rookie IDP draft, he's got to be the number one defensive player for sure. He should rack up tons of sacks. I think he'll be a phenomenal IDP player, and I think he'll be a great NFL player. I just think, personally, I would have liked to see them go Tua. Because if Tua pans out and ends up being a Hall of Fame quarterback, that changes your franchise significantly more than a Hall of Fame edge rusher. So it's not, I'm not like upset about, like, I don't think it's a bad pick. I just would have preferred Tua for those reasons.
Okay. And before we get to Tua, that's a great point, because look at recently, like, you know, Clowney, right? People thought he was going to be a game changer. He's been good, but he obviously not living up quite to the draft billing. And then, you know, someone like Joey Bosa, even as good as he is, you know, when he's on the field, has that changed the trajectory of the Chargers? No. What are the Chargers looking for? What did they get? A quarterback, right? That's what you need. So that's a good point. You know, if you're looking for your franchise to turn things around. Yeah. I mean, I can tell you, I was definitely not rooting for the Dolphins to, you know, land Chase Young or to trade up for Chase Young. I mean, yeah, he's going to be a great player, but quarterback, that's all I have in my mind, right? That's what I'm worried about. Yeah. So that's a good point. Now, does that mean, because that pretty much implies you don't have a lot of faith that Dwayne Haskins is a franchise quarterback. Is that safe to say?
It's not even so much that. I don't think the sample size is big enough yet for Dwayne Haskins. The thing is, what I've been saying all along is, if Tua had never dislocated his hip, the argument coming into this draft would have been Burrow or Tua, who's the number one pick. Like, there's no doubt about that. There's no, like, look at what Tua did when he from the time he took over in the second half of the national title game through his sophomore year, through his junior year. It wasn't like Burrow, who did it for 1 year. Tua did it every game, every week, every time he played, right? Every single time he suited up, he did it. And he put up ridiculous numbers. He's accurate. He's got a great quick release. He reads the field well. He can move. He's got everything you need in a franchise quarterback. So for me, like, you're talking, the upside here is way too high, right? The upside is too high. It's just like, if, like I said, if he never dislocated the hip, it would have been Burrow or Tua, who's the number one pick. So I just really don't want to see a report later that Ron Rivera was worried about Tua's injuries, because that will make me angry. Because the upside here is potentially multiple Super Bowls, right? That's the upside. Like, you look at Patrick Mahomes, you look at Tom Brady, you look at Aaron Rodgers, even though they only won one. I mean, you look at when you draft a quarterback like this, the upside is one or more Super Bowls. That's, you can't say that with an edge rusher. You just can't. Like, an edge rusher, like, you can't. So, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, there's been some great edge rushers that have won Super Bowls, but you can't say, like, that's why they won the Super Bowl. Like, that team won the Super Bowl because they had a great edge rusher. So that's, to me, why I think the pick was Tua, because the upside is so great. And, you know, that's not necessarily a knock on Haskins as much as it is, like, if Tua was in, like, if Haskins was in this draft, where would he rank among quarterbacks? Fourth, fifth, sixth?
Probably fifth, would he be, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so it's not a knock on Haskins as much as it's like, that's how good Tua is. And I just don't think you can pass up on that. And look, there's going to be some quarterback. If you would have drafted Tua, if you're worried, like, well, we want to give Haskins another year. If you would have drafted Tua, you could do one of two things. One, you could sit Tua for a year and let Haskins play and see what you have. Or you could trade Tua or Haskins, because there's teams that are going to that need a quarterback. They're going to say, hey, he was the number 15 overall pick last year. We need a quarterback. We'll give you a second, which I don't think Washington has any seconds right now. So, like, we'll give you a second for Haskins, and we'll take a chance on him. Right. So it wouldn't, like, be like all hope is lost. So it's not so much that I don't believe in Haskins as much as it is that I believe in Tua.
Hey, I believe in Tua too. But the thing with Haskins, yeah, it's true. I mean, the jury cannot be out on him yet after, a few games of a lost season, you know, the coach getting fired. I mean, you just can't say, yeah, he doesn't look the part. I remember back in the day when you drafted a quarterback in the first round, that you don't take a quarterback in the next year in the first round because you give your guy some time to see if he's actually the real deal. So I guess that's not the case anymore, but they decide they're going to wait. I mean, I think that's the smart thing to do, right? I mean, it's not like, here, the window is here now. We need a franchise quarterback so we can win it all right now. I mean, I think they can afford to wait a year. And you know what? If Haskins is not the answer, oh, well, you tank and then you get a quarterback next year, right? Because
like Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence.
Maybe. Hey, tank for Trevor. There you go. Tank for Trevor. Trevor. Tank for Trevor. Yeah. All right. So speaking of tanking, it is time to talk about Tua some more. I was not terribly disappointed that the Dolphins got their guy. Thank Man. God. Let me just thank God they didn't have to trade up, right? That would have been ridiculous. They had to trade up, you know, to number three or number two to take the same guy. Thank God somebody didn't take him first. Thank God we got Tua. That's all I'm going to say. Thank God. Now, normally I wear my Rotoballer shirt, right? My white shirt, but I thought it was only appropriate to not just have my Dolphins, but you can see now I can officially retire the shirt because the Rosen one, I have to say, it's pretty clear that this is not happening. But I will always love this shirt. Just, I mean, how can you not, right? So,
yeah,
Josh Rosen is not a thing. Apparently, it's just not going to be a thing.
He's not a thing in Miami anymore. That's for sure. But see, I mean, I think like the Dolphins already won the first round. In my opinion, you got, like I said, you got potentially the number one draft pick, either 1A or 1B. It would have been an interesting argument if he never hurt his hip, right? Because the argument, there would have been the two sides. There would have been like the guy who had one historical year, just an insane year, or the guy who had two incredible years and when he got his chance as a freshman delivered? You know what I mean? That would have been the argument. So it would just come down to what do you prefer? So I think this is a steal. You guys got a potentially franchise altering QB. And like you said, you didn't tank correctly. You let Fitzpatrick play and win football games for some weird reason. You like it went from tank for Tua to like, oh well, we blew it, but you still got Tua. And you, like you said, you still have all your draft picks. So you can now start adding pieces around him. So this was a huge win for Miami, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I was okay that they beat the Jets just because it's the Jets. But then when they were beating other teams like Philadelphia, whatever, like, what are you doing? Like, come on, what is that 5-win season going to accomplish for you? Just if you're going to tank right. I mean, for God's sake, you don't have to disguise it. You don't have to pretend. It's okay. You got a rookie head coach. You know, you got 37, whoever year old Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. Just don't try to win. Anyways, it turned out pretty good. I have to say I'm pretty happy. I'm glad that they're going to win the first round. They have to, and they have what, like three first round picks. So they better pull it off, right?
They're actually up on 18 because Dallas just took CeeDee Lamb, which is a surprise.
Wow. Okay. So now we got some interesting. See, the receivers, that's going to be where it gets interesting because I mean, the Dolphins taking Tua, that in retrospect, not shocking. And I'm not really surprised he fell. I'm going to say fell to five, but. Just remember, everybody, is it a year ago, like before all this happened? A year ago, it was like a foregone conclusion. Tua was going to be the number one pick, right? We already knew Tua was the top guy. Nobody even had Joe Burrow anywhere on the radar. Like, we didn't know who he was. I mean, we kind of knew who he was, but he definitely wasn't a first-round prospect, right? So I think it's only fair that the worst actual team, the Dolphins, got the best actual player. So I feel like everything is right in the world. That's good.
Well, it is if you're a Miami fan, that's for sure.
Oh, yes. All right. My jersey is already being ordered, by the way, my Tua jersey to go alongside. I have one Dolphins jersey, and that's Dan Marino, of course, the greatest quarterback of all time. Now I'm going to have the next one. Thankfully, for Rose and I just invested in the T-shirt, not the jersey. Yeah. There's hope. All right. Let's talk about another quarterback here. Justin Herbert goes to the Chargers. We knew Chargers were in the market. Some talk they might want Tua. They might move up. They didn't move up. I feel like that was pretty good for them to stay where they were, and they still got, depending on how you value number two or number three quarterback, some people have Herbert as a better pick than Tua just because there's no injury history. They feel like he's got the physical tools. So what's your take on the Chargers now pretending for weeks that they were going to be okay with Tyrod Taylor quarterback and then taking a quarterback? And then you think that Herbert's going to be a good fit there? Do you feel like he's a guy who's going to succeed in the NFL? Because some people are a little shaky about his accuracy and like short to intermediate passes.
Yeah, I'm not a big Herbert guy. I mean, we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if Tyrod Taylor is the starter come week one. You know, when they go, well, they might not even, the problem, this is the problem for all these rookies, is there might not even be a camp, right? They might just start the season. True. In fact, Sean Payton already said like there's going to be no camp for his team. He already said that, which is weird. So it wouldn't be surprising at all to me if Tyrod Taylor is a starter week one. Now we could see Herbert at some point if the Chargers get off to a bad start, or they struggle and they say, okay, the season's over. Let's just see what we got. But I'm not a big Herbert guy. I get why the Chargers had to do this. I mean, you just lost Phillip Rivers. You had to get a quarterback here, I guess. But again, I kind of feel like this is like the Haskins pick last year. Like Washington basically had it. They're sitting there at 15 and there's Dwayne Haskins. Like, well, we got to take Dwayne Haskins here. It's too good of a value. I'm not saying Herbert's a good value. Tua at five is a significantly better value than Herbert at six. But like, are you going to wait for you're going to gamble on like a guy like Jalen Hurts or something like that to still be there by the time you pick again? Or are you just going to say, okay, you know, we're just going to get Herbert now and, you know, hopefully he ends up being good. So I get why they did it, but I'm not too excited about it.
So you're feeling like the Chargers weren't really targeting him. Like, it's not like that this was their guy and they're glad to get him. You feel like it was kind of like, oh, well, he's there. Let's take him. You don't feel like this is something that they're planning all along. In other words, you know,
no, I think their plan was if one of Tua or Herbert were there, they were going to take him. But I guarantee you, if they were honest, they would have vastly preferred Tua. Like, I think there's a significant downgrade from Tua to Herbert. Like, you have Burrow and Tua are way up here, and then you have a significant downgrade down to Herbert.
Like, if Tua had been taken first and the Dolphins ended up with a Herbert, I wouldn't have been as happy, but I would have been okay, because I think he'll be all right. I think he'll be an okay team. And I remember that you and I both, we were really shaky on Josh Allen. Like, he was a much, much more questionable prospect coming in. And I mean, his accuracy still isn't great, but he's doing all right for his team, right? They made the playoffs, and he's got the arm, and, you know, with some more weapons this year, maybe even better. So I'm okay. Yeah. Now, this maybe the first surprise. What's your take on this? I didn't think it would happen. There's some people who said Henry Ruggs could be the first receiver taken. I didn't believe it, just because, you know, obviously Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, not just the production, but just the more polished. And Henry Ruggs was the first receiver taken. And the Raiders, we knew they needed a receiver, and they took Ruggs. What is your take on that?
Yeah, it wasn't surprising that the Raiders took a receiver. They have one of the worst wide receiver groups in the NFL. I think we talked about that last week. Maybe the worst. It was funny because there was a poll earlier today on Twitter, and they said, who's going to be the first receiver taken? It was like CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs. And I picked Henry Ruggs with like no hesitation. No really? Hesitation. That's what the NFL loves. The NFL loves a big, fast guy. They love big, fast guys. That's the NFL loves it. They can't help themselves. They just fall in love with those guys.
Well, let me tell you this. Okay, so that you're right there. Now, the comp maybe last year is DK Metcalf, right? There were a lot of questions because he's always hurt. He didn't put up huge numbers, right? Oh, he's big and fast, but all he does – how many times do you hear somebody say, all he does is run in a straight line? Okay,
yeah.
So I was huge on Metcalf. I had him as my top rookie, just period. And a lot of people doubted him, and some people, you know, said, "Well, look at the ceiling. Look at his look at his abs." But he actually looks pretty good. He could be the Seahawks wide receiver one. To me, he's still one of the top dynasty assets. I think he could be a stud receiver. And there was still a lot of questions. Now Ruggs isn't quite that guy. He's not as big. Obviously, he's more about speed. That might be a good comp, because he's kind of in between, because then the other comp is John Ross, right? He's a guy who ran the fastest 40, and then there we go, look at him. But he kind of, to me, is a little bit in between, right? He's not just John Ross. John Ross had a whole series of injuries, even more than Metcalf in college, right? He was always hurt. He's a converted cornerback, right? He wasn't even a receiver his whole career, and he had almost minimal production in college, right? It wasn't – so it's – kind of in between those two guys. But are you saying you're not surprised that the NFL loves that kind of receiver, that he went number one? Yeah. But do you think he should be the number one receiver? Like, would you have taken him instead of Jeudy or Lamb?
No, I wouldn't. But I just know how the NFL tends to like. Right? Hey, like, hey, they like John Ross's. They like those DK Metcalf. Like, I mean, DK Metcalf was good last year, but they like speed. They like speed. So, and as far as the situation goes, I mean – maybe he's good. Like, maybe he just, because he had to play with Jeudy, he didn't get a lot of targets. I don't know. But that's definitely a concern. And the other concern is, what is Derek Carr? I shouldn't say what. Who is Derek Carr? Is he the guy that had a MVP type season a few years back? Or is he the guy we've been seeing recently? Did he just not have the weapons around him? I don't know. That's the other problem. It's not like he's going to a situation where he's going to be playing with a fantastic quarterback and you feel like, okay, he's in a great spot, like it's okay. Maybe he's not at the level of these guys, but it's okay because his offense and his quarterback will pick him up, like DK Metcalf with Russell Wilson, right? Yeah. He went to Russell Wilson, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So maybe DK Metcalf isn't that great of a, you know, receiver in the traditional route running sense, but he went to a great spot with a great quarterback who could harness his abilities, right? And I don't know if that's going to be the case for Ruggs in Oakland, or I guess Las Vegas now. Las Vegas.
Yeah, not Oakland. We're going to have to get used to that. Vegas.
Yeah, that's going to take a while.
Vegas, baby. And the Seahawks, too, not a lot of depth at receiver. I mean, just think about it. They had Tyler Lockett, who is, you know, not really a target hog. And then you got Metcalf. I mean, after that, it's just a bunch of guys, right? So there definitely was opportunity there. Now, there's obviously opportunity in the Raiders because they have no receivers. Yeah. But I mean, it might not even be Derek Carr halfway through the season. They signed Marcus Mariota, which, I mean, don't laugh. But still, they signed him to one of the biggest contracts for a backup quarterback. I mean, they didn't bring him in just to be like a guy sitting on the bench as a backup. They brought him in for legit competition, I think. I don't think he is going to be much competition because I've never been a Mariota guy. But still, I'm just saying, even if it is Mariota and they swap him out, that's not going to do any favors for Ruggs. So either way, like you said, they don't have a guy who's going to just, you know, help them light up and put numbers. So for a fantasy standpoint, to me, this downgrades Ruggs based on if he would have gone to like Philadelphia with Carson Wentz.
Right. Then I would like it better because you could have played like more of the DeSean Jackson role. Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I don't like this landing. Like, this doesn't, just because he was the first receiver off the board, it doesn't like put him as my top rookie receiver.
And then there'll be some people who say, I mean, it almost is an eerie comp because you could say, as far as what happened with A.J. Brown in Tennessee, that looked like a horrible landing spot, right? There's a run first team and they were run first all year and they didn't have a good quarterback. They had Marcus Mariota. And then Tannehill came in or whatever. What if it's the same thing in Oakland? This looks like a team who's going to run the ball mainly with Jacobs and they don't have a lot of a passing game.
Yeah.
And then what if Mariota comes in midway through the season and injects life into the offense or whatever? I mean, I don't see it happening, but I'm just saying, you could say he's a guy, if he has enough run after catch ability, he could make some plays, but I'm not banking on him to be AJ Brown 2.0.
He'll make some plays, but he's not going to be like a week in, week out fantasy starter, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right. So then as we've gone on the show, so the last couple of picks that happened, you verify for me because I haven't checked. Jerry Jeudy to the Broncos.
Yes. Jerry Jeudy to the Broncos.
All right, well, let's start there. I think receiver definitely was a need. We weren't sure they were going to go for one in the first round. But, I mean, to me, Jerry Jeudy falling there, that's pretty good. I have him as my number one receiver in this class with CeeDee Lamb as number two. So Jeudy opposite of Cortland Sutton, that's looking pretty good. And I've been kind of, I don't want to say banging the drum, but I've been saying Drew Lock might be an undervalued asset at this point. To me, this helps him quite a bit. I mean, Jeudy might be the most polished guy coming in to the NFL. This is looking like an offense now with Melvin Gordon that might actually be pretty good.
Yeah, you got Melvin Gordon, you got Jeudy and Sutton now, you got Noah Fant. Yeah, this is going to be good for Drew Lock. Drew Lock could certainly, there's always some quarterbacks, there's usually a plethora of them who go undrafted in your typical 12 team league and then are on playoff rosters down the stretch, right? Because you know, Drew Lock, but he'll just week in, week out, putting up fantasy numbers because he's got all these weapons around him. And suddenly, you know, you're like, okay, I'm rolling with Drew Lock. Forget it. I'm going with it. And it works out for you. So this definitely be a big boost for Drew Lock. The one guy that this really hurts is DeSean Hamilton. You got to think, especially in dynasty leagues, if you were holding on to DeSean Hamilton, who has shown some flashes, right? And could have emerged as the number two behind Sutton, but now you got to think at some point Judy's going to take over that role. Again, it is going to be tougher for the rookies this year if there's no camps or anything. It's going to be tough. But you got to think, I agree with that. Jeudy was my number one, so I think this is really good for Denver, really good for Drew. I think it's good for Jeudy too. I think it's a great spot for him because, you know, he's got a number one, he's got Sutton on the other side who's going to, defense is going to have to put some have to pay attention to, right? So it's going to be good for him too. I think this is great all around.
Yeah, because they're not going to focus. It's much better than like the Raiders we just talked about, better landing spot, better than the Jets because Jets. And I think that probably the only better spot, which I didn't expect necessarily would be Philadelphia, kind of mentioned earlier, that would be a probably better spot for any rookie receiver coming in. And we'll see what they do. But the only possible landing spot that might be better, I think, is the one that I don't know if anybody expected this. The Cowboys got CeeDee Lamb. Why are they taking a receiver? I get that they didn't really have a lot behind Cooper and Gallup, but really they didn't have any other needs in the first round. They needed a receiver. Do you think this was just a matter of the fact that he fell farther than expected and there's just value, right? This is the best value and we'll worry about the other things later. Or is this just Jerry Jones being at home by himself drafting and just being like a maniac? This is what it is. It's just pure Jerry Jones, right?
Yes. Yeah, 100%. That's what I was going to say. I was like, this is what happens when you leave Jerry Jones by himself and a big name player, and it's hard to call a rookie a big name player, but CeeDee Lamb has been a very hyped up rookie receiver. Jerry Jones cannot help himself when it comes to this type of thing. Nope. He needs the spotlight. He needs the attention. He needs the names, right? He needs the names. And yeah, he could have drafted a boring offensive tackle to help protect his franchise quarterback, Dak Prescott, right? Or he could have maybe drafted, you know, a defensive lineman to help, you know, bolster up that line a little bit. But nah, he's got to go with
the. That's boring. That's boring.
I mean, I don't. The problem here is you already have two young receivers in Cooper and Gallup. Who's the odd man out? And I'd have to think right now it's CeeDee Lamb. I mean, because Cooper, we know, is a one. Gallup has looked, all he's done is gotten better. He started off good and has only gotten better. So where does CeeDee Lamb going to fit in here?
So they used to have Cole Beasley, right? Their slot. Then they brought in Randall Cobb. Cobb is gone. And they don't really have a legit slot option, right? So they could have Cooper and Gallup on the outside and stick Lamb in the slot. That's a pretty good threesome right there. And since they don't have Witten, they don't really have a tight end who's like a big pass catching threat. Maybe they're planning to, you know, kind of emulate the Rams a couple years ago, run more 11 personnel and spread the field open. Because you got to remember, who's their coach now? Mike Pass Happy McCarthy. So, I mean, if anything, there might not be an odd man out for receivers. It could be that Zeke, maybe they kind of, you know, lower his load a little bit. And I don't know, to me, this is big for Prescott, who I think already was solid top five. I'd say top five just because I mean, everyone's already sticking Kyler Murray into the top five. I have him kind of right there on the fringe, but I take Prescott over Murray. I mean, you got Mahomes, you got Lamar Jackson, obviously. And I think I got Dak Prescott right there then along with Russell Wilson and, you know, Kyler Murray. So to me, Prescott's the winner here. Clearly, I think Zeke, we're going to see his numbers go down a little bit just because of the offensive philosophy. I think that's the thing. They're going to try to spread it out a lot more. Do you think this hurts Gallup at all because of that? Or do you think that all three receivers can thrive here?
I don't think all three can thrive. I think there's going to be an odd man out. I don't think it's very hard for any team to support three wide receivers. Like fantasy relevant, three fantasy relevant wide. I'm trying to think of the last team that had three.
I mean, I'm thinking the Rams, and that's why I'm thinking that's what, if I had to try to guess, scary as it might be what Jerry Jones is thinking, I think that's what he's thinking. Like, I got my Todd Gurley, I got Zeke, right? I got a system here where I can have, you know, where they had Cooks and Woods and Kupp, you know. Now I got my slot guy and then my two. So, I mean, we could have numbers like that where all three receivers are kind of equal.
I mean, I guess that's what you gotta be hoping here. I guess Cooks, Woods, and Kupp was the most recently that we saw all three. But maybe I'm just too used to the way Dallas plays. I don't see Dallas doing that. But maybe you're right. Maybe this is a new Dallas team, because even when you think back to Green Bay, the Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers era, they would have two good, but they would rarely support three. Fantasy, like, we're three guys that you could just start every single week and not worry about it. So even as pass happy as McCarthy is he going to be 600 attempts pass happy? Because that's what it took for the Rams, right? It took Jared Goff throwing the ball 600 plus times to support three receivers like that. I guess it is, the situation is okay in the sense that they don't really have a tight end. So you don't like, because that's kind of how the Rams were, right? They had three receivers, a running back, and no tight end back then. So I guess this, you do have that situation, but I don't know. I just think somebody's going to be the odd man out. I think it's going to be Lamb. I think, or at least in the beginning, it's going to be Lamb.
Yeah, I think this hurts as far as his redraft value. Like, he could have been a guy kind of plug and play that you stick in the right situation and he could put up numbers. I think he'll be okay. But again, this is a guy kind of like with Ruggs. You know, fine for Dynasty, actually really good for Dynasty, I would think, because he's tied to a good quarterback, you know. But, yeah, I don't trust him to put up a lot of numbers year one. I think Jerry Jeudy, despite, you look, okay, he has got Drew Lock as opposed to Dak Prescott, you know, Broncos versus Cowboys. But I think Judy's going to put up better numbers because he'll be the wide receiver two right away. And like you said, now Lamb is three behind two really good receivers. And, oh, yeah, they have one of the best running backs too. So, Odd man out fantasy wise this year. Yeah, I think so. But I still think this is good for his dynasty value.
Yeah, it could be because they're, you know, they could certainly move on from Cooper. Right. It doesn't seem like they're completely sold on Cooper necessarily. So
you never know. Crazy things happen. As far as Gallup, I mean, I know a lot of people expecting, you know, this could be like a breakout season. I mean, he put up pretty good numbers last year. And so I think a lot of people expecting that this year he would blow up even more. This, I guess, I agree with you. This does put a little bit of dent in that because now they're going to try to spread the ball around. But I still think that it's not a bad thing because you need a good third receiver. Otherwise, you know, the offense just isn't as efficient. So I think it kind of squashes some of that breakout into, you know, top 15 receiver territory for him fantasy wise. But I don't think it really hurts him too much.
Yeah, I agree. Like it definitely hurts the ceiling, right?
There you
because
go.
Because those targets are going to, Lamb's going to get some, he's going to get his share of targets. I think he'll be third, but he's going to get a share that potentially could have been going to Gallup. So yeah.
All right. That's a much more concise way to say what I said. Like it just,
yes.
All right. Any other, we're at what pick 20 picks in from what I can see. Eagles are up. Is that right?
Yeah. We're at pick 21. So Eagles are up. So this could be a big pick here as far as fantasy goes. Right. Cause they could definitely be looking at receivers. So who would be the best receiver?
Well, that's a question because a lot of people, you look at everybody's rankings, they're all different, right? A lot of people like Jalen Reagor, thinking that he could be next, Denzel Mims.
And the pick is in. Actually, it was Jalen Reagor. You called it Jalen Reagor to the Eagles.
There you go, Reagor. I know a lot of people are tying Mims to the Eagles, but I think Reagor was next on a lot of people's boards. So there you go.
Now here you go. So here's the Dynasty question. In Dynasty, who would you rather have, Lamb or Reagor?
You know what? That's an interesting question because Eagles is a good landing spot for this year. And I know Wentz, obviously a good young quarterback, but so is Prescott. There's not much ahead of Reagor, right? Because Jeffrey, they're saying they might trade Alshon Jeffrey, Deshaun Jackson. Even if he's back for next year, he's not going to be around much longer. He's not a, you know, guy you can depend on. Arcega Whiteside, I mean, we thought he would be a good asset, and he didn't do much. He had all the opportunity in the world last year. I mean, they literally had no bodies at receiver, and they were throwing him out there, and he couldn't do anything, which is a little worrisome, right? I mean, I get it, you're a rookie, but still, I mean, that's a little worrisome. So, I tell you, right now, in a redraft or like a best ball, because I'm not going to draft any of these guys in redraft anyways, but in a best ball league, yeah, I'd take Reagor right now over Lamb, I think.
What about Dynasty?
In Dynasty...
I mean, I believe that Lamb is a better receiver than Reagor, but opportunity and situation matters.
I think I would still go talent as far as I think better talent. I would go Lamb because I don't think it's a worse situation per se. Because again, you don't know a year, 2 years from now, you know, they're still going to have Cooper and Gallup, or they're still going to have, you know, the same coach, same system. So I know Reagor, a lot of people are high on him. A lot of people kind of excusing, oh, he had a terrible quarterback in college and whatever, but also in a very offensive-friendly, pass-happy league. And yeah. I think he's got the offensive – I think he's got the physical talent of Lamb, but I think Lamb is just a lot more polished. I think that Lamb is going to be more dependable. I would still take Lamb.
Yeah, I think it got a little closer here, though.
True, true. I mean, definitely landing spot matters, so.
Yeah, this is one of the best spots Reagor could have landed.
Yeah, I know. There was some thought that if he slipped a little farther, I mean, it wasn't a sure bet he would be a first-round pick. And some people were saying, well, maybe if he slips to, you know, later on that he would be, you know, go to the Rams or something. Like, that would have been great. But, yeah, I don't think he was getting too much hype. He wasn't going to fall that low. So Denzel Mims, I guess, the next big name. And now some people tying him to the Saints. That would be a pretty good landing spot, right? Next receiver that goes, if somebody goes to the Saints.
Well, now Minnesota's up, who also
need a receiver.
Potentially need a receiver.
Do they take one in round one? That's the question, though.
They traded away Diggs. So we're looking at, what, maybe Justin Jefferson here?
Actually, and that's who I thought, honestly, I thought the Eagles were going to take Justin Jefferson because he's more a guy, like, if he would have gone to the Eagles, I would have had him over Lamb easy, right? Because Jefferson, maybe the ceiling isn't as high. But he's a guy I think he can step in and produce right away. So if Justin Jefferson goes to the Vikings, honestly, I put him ahead of Rager and Lamb. Not Judy, though.
No, I love where Judy went. I think he was the best receiver in this draft. So for me, he's my wide receiver one.
Yeah.
As far honestly, as Dynasty.
Yeah, yeah. Go. For Dynasty, for sure right now, Judy's still my number one.
Yeah.
I guess, well, there's only four guys, right? I guess I would have to put Lamb next.
Yeah, I'd probably have to do that too, just because of pedigree. But
and then Rager or Ruggs, I guess.
I got Rager far ahead of Ruggs. I think he's a better receiver, and I like the landing spot a lot better. There's just a lot of risk with Ruggs. How good is he really? How good is he going to be in the NFL? And what Derek Carr is he going to be playing with? Which Derek Carr, right?
or is it going to be Derek Carr? Is it going to be Marcus Mariota? Is it and next year going to be a different quarterback?
That's not a selling point for me. Like you said,
no.
He made AJ Brown seem like a bust, and then all of a sudden Ryan Fitzpatrick turned AJ Brown into like now one of the most coveted dynasty assets out there. So to me, Marcus Mariota, like that doesn't help his cause.
Oh no, that's what I'm saying. That's a reason to be worried. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we could be looking at the Raiders taking a quarterback next year. So,
yeah. So if I was ranking the wide receivers right now, Judy, Lamb, Rager. Although, if somebody wanted to go Rager over Lamb, I'd be okay with that too. And then to me, Ruggs is fourth right now. But like you said, I think if Jefferson goes to the Vikings here, that's going to really be tough between him and Lamb. Like I might have to put him ahead of Lamb.
And that's close because, again, Lamb, really good receiver, obviously, and that's not a bad spot because of where he is. But at Jefferson, I could see becoming a total target hog in Minnesota. Not that they're going to be as pass heavy, but still, I mean, it's Thielen and him. And, I mean, who else do they have besides just tight ends? I mean, like Olabisi Johnson. I mean,
And I think Kirk Cousins he gets a bad rap. I think he's a much better real life quarterback than people give him credit for. So, you know, Lamb could be better long-term, right? Because like you said, I mean, maybe when Gallup's rookie contract is up, they don't sign him. Maybe they decide to move on from Cooper and trade him or something. You just don't know with Jerry Jones, right? If that happens, now Lamb's value would shoot way up. But I look at, you know, but if that doesn't happen, if they keep those three intact, then he's going to have to outplay Gallup or Cooper or something to really cement himself, which he could do. He could do. He's a good receiver. But Justin Jefferson, if he went to Minnesota, he doesn't even really compete with Thielen as far as what they do. Like they do two, right? They're like two totally different players.
Right.
Like he'd be more of like Stephon Diggs, right?
A little bit. Well, and that's some people, the concern with him is that he played a lot out of the slot, and will he adjust if he's forced to the outside in the NFL, you know, against more physical corners? Is he going to adapt? You know what I mean? It would be nice if he went to a team, and I thought that would be a good spot for Philadelphia if they still keep Alshon Jeffrey, assuming they did, right? Have him on the outside, put Jefferson in the slot, DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, and Jefferson, right? That would have been a nice trio, and, you know, DeSean Jackson, not a guy who's, you know, steal too many targets away from him, right? And they're going to pass the ball quite a bit. They pass the ball in the red zone a lot. So that would have been an ideal spot. But I think Minnesota is just as good. Like, to me, this is the next best landing spot.
Sure. But, so the pick is in, but they haven't announced it yet.
Of course they haven't.
Like, they really milk these things.
Oh, you know, they know where their pick was 14 minutes and 50 seconds ago. They're just waiting to, you know, give them something to talk about.
The Bengals knew what their pick was a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a month ago, and they sat on the clock until there was like a minute left.
Well, and I get it once you get later on, but really like the first five picks, like, come on, you already know. Like, why would the Bengals have to take their time to even make the pick, well, right?
You know the NFL makes them do that so they can, like, have more commercials. They can talk about the storylines of the player. Like, you don't want like the Bengals to pick Joe Burrow and then immediately Washington picks Chase Young and the network hasn't even had time to talk about Joe Burrow and his story, right? They gotta,
we know.
It's all for show.
Yeah,
like this draft could have been over an hour ago. honestly.
But that's no fun. Got to milk it. That's what I
tell them. It's Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson to the Vikings, like we were talking about. Yep.
There you go.
Justin Jefferson to the Vikings. I mean, they needed a wide receiver. So, and we talked about this is such a deep wide receiver class. We already had 5 wide receivers in the first round.
So not surprising, and no running backs yet. No. So receivers still in the show. But for Dynasty, that's pretty much what you want, right? Because the receivers are the anchor of your team. So Jefferson to the Vikings. I know we kind of already broke this down, but I mean, to me, one of the top as far as redraft value. He's a guy I might take a late round shot on, guy that I now in my best ball drafts I'm going to go start drafting. But I mean, so where do you put him now that he is a Viking, ahead of Rager?
Like, I think Judy and Lamb are a class above the other receivers in this draft as far as just talent and like playing the position. So, yeah, I guess I can't drop Lamb because, like you said, it's not like the situation is terrible. It's not like you went to, I don't know, the Jets where I'd be like, oh, man.
Thank God the Jets didn't take a receiver.
Yeah. I'd probably go now Judy, Lamb, Jefferson, Rager, and then Ruggs. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. Judy's still number one for me. I can't put Jefferson too high, that high. The ceiling is a little bit limited talent-wise as far as he's not up there with Lamb, but then I still keep Lamb number two. Yeah, I'll probably Jefferson, then Rager, then Ruggs. And not hitting Ruggs. And that's the funny thing, we always say opportunity is everything, right? In fantasy, especially opportunity. And so people say, well, Raiders, that was the best opportunity because they need a receiver. They didn't have anybody, right? He was the first one they took. They're going to, make him the priority, in the passing game. But opportunity isn't just being in the right place at the right time. It's like you have to have somebody who can throw you the ball, right? So to me, even Lamb being the number three receiver in Dallas, he has a chance to be more successful than Ruggs is the number one receiver in Vegas, So at least for this year. Now, that could change next year, right? If they get Trevor Lawrence or another quarterback or somebody, then that could change. All of a sudden, Ruggs looks a lot better. For right now, I would still – because Ruggs isn't going to be a guy who's a target hog. He isn't a guy you're going to run the offense around. He's not maybe he will be. Who knows, right? Obviously, they saw something in him they liked, but – we've seen too many times where, like you said, NFL teams, they just fall in love with speed, right? Just physical tools. So.
Yeah. And I think you nailed it when you said Oakland is a great – Vegas.
Not Oakland.
it is going to take me a while to get used to that. Vegas is a great landing spot for a receiver because we talked about it. Terrible receiving group. Whoever goes there could immediately become the number one. But I think – I don't view Ruggs as, like you said, a true number. Like, if Ruggs went to Denver, if Judy went to Oakland, obviously if Judy went to Oakland, I would love Judy still because I feel like he can be like the number one, whether it's Derek Carr or not. He can be that guy. Like, if Ruggs went to Denver, I would like Ruggs a lot more because I agree. I think that's perfect for him. Now he's the wide receiver too. He doesn't have to be the guy. He doesn't have to run all the routes, right? When it's third and six, he doesn't have to make the play. It's okay. Like, Sutton can do it, right? But he'll have tons of opportunities to break off, like take a slant to the house or beat a guy deep to the house, right? He'd have tons of opportunities for that. The problem with Oakland is they still need that guy. They still need that guy who it's like, okay, we need a play. Who's going to make the play? They don't have that guy. And I don't feel like Ruggs can be that guy. And like you said, maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong before. Nobody really knows, but I don't feel like he's that guy. So that's why I don't feel like Oakland is a great spot for him. Even though Oakland was a great spot for a receiver, I don't feel like it was a great spot for him because he has to be the guy, and I don't think he can be the guy.
Yeah, and getting the other teams, probably the top cover corner, right? Because I would guess they would cover him more so than Tyrell Williams. But yeah, I agree exactly what you said. It maybe doesn't make sense, but I would have liked Judy in Oakland and Ruggs in Denver better that way because Judy can be the guy. And to me, I mean, like Amari Cooper. I mean, I know that's a lazy comp, Alabama receiver, but could be like another Amari Cooper as opposed to, what Ruggs isn't. And then Ruggs in Denver, that would have been a more logical spot for him, right? Because Cortland Sutton, more big-bodied guy, shorter yardage, and then Ruggs is taking the top off the defense. So,
where I would have really, really loved Ruggs? Is in Dallas instead of CeeDee Lamb because now he can just do what he does. Right now, you can just like, yeah, he's not going to give you a week to week floor in Dallas, but he's going to would probably give you some monster games in Dallas, right? You would get like 4 or 5 monster games from Ruggs in Dallas. So yeah, I just think for Ruggs, the situation is, yeah, it was a great situation for receivers, but not necessarily for Ruggs. Like if Lamb would have gone there, I would probably put him ahead of Judy.
Yeah. No. So again, it's not just about opportunity, but fit, right? The fit matters. And that to me, that's just not the best fit for Ruggs. Right. This is kind of making me feel too, like coming out. Yeah. You know, you always have your ideas and projections, but now when you see where they actually go, it kind of just confirms your bias. So to me, this kind of confirms I didn't have Ruggs that high to begin with, you know, like I wasn't going to put him up ahead of, you know, those top three guys anyway. So,
well, this is why I don't think you should do your dynasty rookie drafts before the draft. And it's why I don't ever bother with rookie rankings before the draft. Now, if you're ranking guys based on how good you think they are as a player, not fantasy, I'm just talking about a player. Like you think, like I thought Jerry Jeudy was the best receiver, but I thought CeeDee Lamb was very good too. And there's some people who think CeeDee Lamb is better than Jerry Jeudy, and that's fine. But when you're like doing fantasy dynasty rankings, rookie dynasty rankings, I think it's ridiculous right now because situation matters, right? Situation matters. Like, so, you know.
Well, it's funny. I was looking, you know, obviously rankings, but looking back because I'm doing my rankings and looking at last year, the rookie rankings in March versus the rookie rankings in May, like before and after, I would say totally different. They're very different, right? A lot of guys moved up and moved down. AJ Brown moved up a lot because of his landing spot. And, you know, a lot of guys fell down. So things change, right? Obviously, landing spot is everything. A lot of people, as soon as Andy Isabella went to the Cardinals, like, oh, yeah, Lee's going to be great. Barely saw the field. So sometimes opportunity looks great, but it isn't.
Do we want to stay on for Miami's last pick? They're two picks up.
I would love to stay for Miami's last pick. All right.
All right, let's go. We got New Orleans, Minnesota again, and then Miami. Who are you hoping? Let's make this a Miami love fest for the rest of this thing. Who are you really hoping Miami takes here? So they went Tua at 5. They took the tackle at 18. So you're hoping Jonathan Taylor, right? That's what you're hoping for?
Okay. So we did a Rotoballer mock NFL draft, right? We each were, there's a few of us and we each took a team or two and pretended we were the GM, not just who we want, but who we think the team should take. So no surprise. I took the Dolphins and I took the Jags. So in that mock draft, I could take Tua because Dom, as the Redskins, you would have liked this. Dom had the Redskins taking Tua at number two. So I couldn't take Tua, so I had Herbert. I took
Herbert. I'm a smart guy.
Yeah, that would have been nice. But anyways, they got a quarterback, and then I think in the second pick, I had them taking a tackle, but it was a different tackle. I think it was the one from Houston. And then in the third pick, I had them take Jonathan Taylor. Now, if Jonathan Taylor is there, which it looks like he will be, yeah, I would take him. Because what's their biggest need? I mean, realistically, besides quarterback, what's their biggest need? Think of all the Dolphins last year. What is the worst thing?
Well, they have some serious needs on defense, especially in that secondary. I feel like that secondary, like, couldn't stop me and you.
True. Yeah, even with my shaky knee here, I think I could.
Well, you'd have to throw. With my shoulder, I can't throw. So I can't really run either. So maybe they could stop us. Maybe they'd be able to
stop. but not NFL players. Yeah, we have got like Jamal Wills starting at safety.
In the secondary, right?
Huh?
Secondary. They need some serious secondary help, don't they?
So if I remember what I had in the second round, I had them taking a safety. I think it was Grant Delpit from LSU because he fell, and that was still a good pick. I think there's going to be enough secondary help still available in the second round because we haven't had a lot of guys, right, corners to safeties go yet this first round, have we?
We had Detroit took a corner at 3, the guy from Ohio State.
Right, Okuda.
Yeah, and I think there was another corner drafted, but I could be mistaken on that.
But I feel like because this first round is going to be a lot of, besides the quarterbacks, there's going to be a lot of receivers taken, a lot of offensive linemen. That's where the depth is, right? That's where this year's class is stacked. So I feel like there's going to be a good option still at corner safety. Now, is there going to still be a good running back in the second round because they have an early second round pick? Yeah. So maybe they're like, well, we don't have to worry about it. You know, we could take, you know, whoever's left. They could take Swift. They could take a guy like Clyde Edwards-Helaire from LSU, who I know a lot of people are high on. That actually might make the most sense as far as fit, because they took Jordan Howard, who, as we know, is not capable of catching a pass with his hands. So you take a guy like Helaire, who's, that's his thing, right? He's a, you know, a tough runner, but he's also mainly a pass catcher, right? So that would be a nice kind of 1-2 punch in a balance there. You know, Howard kind of more between the tackles, and Larry can get outside and catch passes. So to me, that makes the most sense. But if you have a guy like Swift available in the second round, I mean, you got to take him. And Taylor, too. He's one of those guys. So do they have to take a running back here? No. But, I mean, I wouldn't blame him if they did, because that's, to me, that's the most glaring need, right? And I think that either way, they'll be okay, because there's enough depth still in the secondary that they could take one. In looking at round two, the Dolphins could still have their pick of one of the top two, top three running backs. So maybe it is smarter to wait.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out in one more pick here.
All right.
This is the Vikings pick. And this Saints player who got drafted is crying of joy, of course. But this guy would probably feel pretty good.
Going to the Saints, you should be pretty happy.
You're a center, and you're going to get to play with Drew Brees. That's probably pretty exciting, right?
For 1 year, at least.
At least 1 year, but hey, it'll probably be one great year, right? You're more than likely going to the playoffs. You have definite potential, Super Bowl potential.
Well, let me ask you this. New Orleans, some people thought they might take a chance on like quarterback of the future. Should they take a quarterback? Should they have taken a quarterback? Because they know Brees almost probably sure not to come back after next year.
No. I mean, who are they going to take?
Well, some people said Jordan Love, right? Kind of a guy that you can sit on the bench for a year and learn and develop. He's got the arm, you know. He can learn behind the most accurate quarterback probably in NFL history and develop the accuracy.
I don't know. I mean, I think if you're gonna do that, just wait and take someone later. If you're just gonna take a project, just wait and draft one later. You know what I mean? And if it doesn't work out, fine, try again next year, right? But no, I think the Saints are trying to win this year.
Yeah.
They need to address their needs. They can't address like the future yet. They're trying to win this year. Right.
That's true. They want to plug holes before they start worrying about next year and the year after.
Mm-hmm. I have a team that can win the championship right now. You just don't get a lot of chances to win championships. And the same in the NFL, you don't get a lot of chances to win Super Bowls. So if you have a team that's on the brink, especially if you have a quarterback like Drew Brees, who might only have a year or two left, you're trying to win right now. That's it. You just got to put all your eggs into this basket. Try to win the Super Bowl now. It's like Tampa Bay. They traded up one spot and traded their third round pick to get the tackle they really, really, really wanted, because they're trying, they have a 2-year window to win Super Bowls, right? In 2 years, when Brady retires. Yeah, exactly. So in 2 years, when Brady retires, Gronk is certainly going to be like, okay, now I'm officially out, right? I'm officially done. We know Gronk's not going to play unless Brady's playing. So you gotta do what you got. You can't worry about the future. You got to do what you got to do to try to win now. I think it's a good lesson for dynasty players, because I see a lot of dynasty players. Oh, wait, we had a trade.
Uh-oh.
So the Vikings traded with San Francisco. So now San Francisco's on the clock.
Okay, so trading up for something specific, obviously, what is it that their need is?
Well, it's not running back, we wouldn't think.
I don't think so.
I mean, they definitely have a need at receiver, but who's really like – are any of these receivers worth trading up for? I mean, where do they really have a need?
Not on defense.
I'm going to say, like, what need do they have on defense?
And then there's word, I think today they were saying they're basically going to trade Marquise Goodwin. It's just a matter of where and when. So, I would think receiver if they're trading up. But,
well, maybe they really – yep, they took a receiver, and I don't think it's nobody we talked about. Brandon Ayuk.
Oh, Ayuk. Okay. Arizona State, I think.
Yeah. So they traded up and for a receiver. And yep, they wanted that. I don't know. I mean, they must really, I mean, obviously they really like him.
Well, but also if you're trading up, because they were what, the 31, right? They had the second to last pick of the first round. If you're trading up, you know, at five spots, they must have been afraid that one of those other teams was going to take them, like maybe the Dolphins, maybe, I don't know, maybe the Titans, because why else trade up if you think that he's still going to be there five spots later, right?
Well, yeah, they must have. I mean, it didn't seem likely to me that, like, was he wasn't really getting mocked in the first round anywhere, was he?
For the most part, no.
I mean, I guess, you know, if he's your guy, get your guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't give up too much to get him, right?
I don't know. I didn't see the specifics of the trade.
Okay, so receiver in San Francisco worked out pretty well for Debo. How are you feeling about a rookie receiver like Ayuk, who wasn't even a top five prospect? Top 10, yeah, but not one of the top guys, kind of surprisingly going in the first round. They did pretty well. A lot of people were lower on Debo last year, so you think, well, they probably know what they're doing. So do you like this move? Do you think he becomes a threat in redraft just because there's a need there? I mean, there's opportunity.
This is certainly a good spot for a receiver, right? They don't really have anybody. Emmanuel Sanders is gone. It sounds like Goodwin is gone. It's basically Debo and Kittle absorbing all the targets, so certainly there's going to be room for him. I'm seeing stuff on Twitter where a lot of people like this trade. Guys who spend way more time than me researching the rookies, they like this, or like, I mean, I'm sorry, they like this pick. They think he's a really good fit for the Niners. So obviously the Niners really liked him. So that's got to be good for him, right? If a team really likes you and they trade up for you, that means they have plans for you. So I think I might put him over Ruggs.
Dynasty ranking. Only thing is, this isn't as pass heavy of an offense in San Francisco. They don't need to pass the ball as much because their defense is so good. But there's definitely going to be some opportunity. He could kind of slide in and be the wide receiver too. Now, of course, that really makes him the third target at best behind Kittle. But still, I think there's some potential. He's a guy, just looking real quick, like you said, I don't know as much about him as some of the other guys we've talked about, but 4.5, 40. So decent, not blazing speed. Kind of a do-it-all guy, also a kick returner he used to be, and I kind of feel like maybe he's going to have that same role. They're going to use him like they did Debo, a lot of screens and move him around the field. So I think they like that versatility, kind of this offense. You know, Shanahan likes moving pieces around, not just kind of the traditional pro offense. So kind of a good chess piece for them.
Yeah, anytime you go to a Shanahan offense, it's good for you, your fantasy value, because he'll find ways to use you, right?
Yeah.
So your Dolphins are on the clock.
A win for him, definitely a win for Ayuk. That's a pretty good landing spot, I would say. Better than Rager, I don't know. I'm not sure if he has that ceiling.
Yeah, I don't know much about him, so it's hard for me to say, but, you know, Rager was typically a top four or five receiver as far as rankings in this class.
Yeah.
And that's a great spot. I feel like that's a great spot for him. He's going to be tied to Carson Wentz for a few years now. And we already talked about it. I mean, Greg Ward was leading the team in receiving down the stretch last year, right? Which we both love Greg Ward from his AAF days, but we're talking about a guy who played in the AAF leading the Eagles in receiving down the stretch. Wide receiver was a huge need for that team. And you got to think, Rager can have an immediate impact. So I don't think I'd put Ayuk over Rager, but I think I still put him over Ruggs because it's hard for me to believe in Ruggs. And I just don't think it was a good, even though, yeah, he's going to be the guy. I don't think he should be the guy. So, but we'll see.
Yeah, no, I'm hearing you. I'm not sold on Ruggs. Yeah. This is going to be a guy we're going to tell you to avoid, probably have him as a dynasty sell as of right now. I mean, it'll be interesting to see now in Dynasty rookie drafts, a lot of talking about just in general, all these receivers. We've had how many receivers taken? Six, seven?
Six now. And we still could have more. I mean, we talk about the Packers. When do the Packers pick?
They're 30. They're coming up in a couple spots.
Yeah, they could take a receiver.
They definitely could. So thinking about the shift now back to getting those elite running backs, hadn't been a running back taken in the first round. There might not be. The Dolphins don't take one. They probably won't be. How many running backs go in the first round of a dynasty rookie draft? Because regardless of where they end up, they weren't a first round investment. You know what I mean? So if Jonathan Taylor goes, you know, to the Dolphins, that would be a great landing spot, whether it's the first or the second round. But if you have a running back who goes to Detroit, you know, in round two, a running back who goes to Houston, you know, if you have a running back who goes to Jacksonville or any of those teams, Tampa Bay maybe, but how much confidence does that give you that they didn't spend a first round pick on him? You know what I mean?
It still gives me confidence because I think it's more about where they pick the running backs, and it more like a running back going to, if a running back goes to a situation like Detroit where they already have somebody like Kerryon Johnson, who we know they don't want to give 20 touches to, but they'd still, he's going to get a decent amount of touches, then I think that definitely hurts their value. But if the Dolphins took Jonathan Taylor in round two or DeAndre Swift in round two, to me, that's would be fantastic for either of those guys. And I might even rank them ahead of any of these wide receivers in Dynasty. And the Dolphins just traded this pick, I think, looks like, the Packers. So they move back four spots.
Okay. I mean, that's not bad if they're getting additional picks. I mean, so now that tells you the Packers, maybe they're targeting their receiver like Mims or somebody.
Yeah, so we could see another receiver go. Let's see. All right, so the pick is in. Wow. Wow.
Don't tell me it's quarterback. Jordan Love?
Yes. Jordan yes. Love? What? What?
What, the Packers just took a quarterback?
They just took Jordan Love. What?
Wow.
That's... Okay, so what does that say about the Packers and Aaron Rodgers? What? What?
That's interesting. So does that mean Rodgers has got a year, 2 years left? Or are they just...
How many years does he have left on his deal?
Wow.
Wow.
That's... All right. So there's our first shocker. I would say official shocker, right?
Yeah. Can you do me a favor? My laptop's dying. I was not prepared for that pick. Wow. So what does this do... So how do you rank Jordan Love in Dynasty? So you know you're not going to get anything out of him this year, obviously.
Well, okay, so to Aaron Rodgers, it says potential out 2022. It would still be a big cap hit, but 2 years, like this year, you know, locked up. Next year, locked up. He could opt out in 2022. I guess, obviously, he could just retire, and then that doesn't mean anything. That's interesting.
Wow. That's crazy. I mean, okay. I guess I'm really new.
Okay, so you got to think that he's on board with this, right? Aaron Rodgers would know that they're not taking a quarterback without him knowing. You've got to think that, right?
I don't think that, because I don't think Aaron Rodgers would be okay with that. Aaron Rodgers just seems like his ego is too big for that.
Yeah,
I don't know. That. I don't know Aaron Rodgers. I'm just going off of like what I've seen and what I've read. But Aaron Rodgers doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would be like, yeah, cool, bring in a QB. Like, remember when like the Steelers would draft a quarterback and Big Ben was like, I'm not mentoring him. Right?
Yeah. Maybe Rodgers won't be the best mentor. So does that make you worry about Jordan Love? Not that I was high on Love anyways. I didn't think he was going to be like a great, you know, prospect, but I mean, some people will say, well, this is a great spot because he waits and, you know, he sits. He doesn't have to come in right away. He'll sit there for a couple of years and learn, and then he can come in and he'll have learned from the best. But it might be kind of the opposite, right?
Yeah. I mean, unless the Packers have already decided that they're moving on from Aaron Rodgers.
I can't imagine that. I mean, but they can't. That's the thing is they – I would think the only reason they would do this is if they know that Rodgers said, like, look, I got 2 years left and I'm done.
That's what I mean. Or the Packers have already decided, like, hey, we're not, when his contract's up, we're moving on.
Yeah. But that's still at least 2 years, unless.
Yeah, even then, like, you're going to draft the guy and make him sit there for 2 years? I mean, I guess, how long did Aaron Rodgers have to sit there for? 2 years?
Yeah, I think it's kind of the same thing, but. I mean,
maybe that's how the Packers should do it. They're like, yeah, we draft the guy 2 years before we actually need him.
Hey, it's worked, right? I guess it worked, but this isn't the same, right? This is not the same type of players as Rodgers. There's a lot of accuracy questions about him, like some more of a project, which I guess is why a team like the Packers might make sense, right? Because they feel like they can give the time to move on, but still,
But this is really bad for Jordan Love's value because, I mean, he's not going to see the field for probably 2 years, right?
Yeah, he's to me now like a non-factor. Like you just don't draft him in Dynasty. I wouldn't draft him at all in a rookie draft.
Not in a single in Superflex, you could draft the stash kind of guy late if you're
in a deep Superflex league. Yeah, but
not in a one QB league. No.
Wow. So, not a win for Jordan Love. Like, if he had gone to the Saints, then yeah, like you scoop him up because you know next year like he's in and he could still learn from one of the greatest QBs. And then this is a big loss for Jordan Love.
Wow, this is shocking.
Wow. All right, so two trades now, and the Packers. That's also interesting because you were just saying about how a team like the Saints, like they need to fill needs. They're like, win now, right? They got an older quarterback. They kind of have all the pieces. They were a good team last year. So why are the Packers in the first round not taking a player that can help their defense, or you know, a receiver which would have helped? Yeah, that's.
So they just showed a stat on the board. The Packers have not picked a receiver in the first round since 2005.
Yeah, look how much that helped them the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at their roster, it's Devontae Adams and a bunch, and not much else. Receiver made so much sense there. Wow. And when they trade up, you just think, okay, they're trading up for a receiver, right? That's what they're doing. They're looking at all these receivers coming off the board, and they're thinking, we better make a move before, because you got Baltimore coming up, you got Tennessee coming up. They could certainly go, one of those teams could certainly go receiver, especially Baltimore. They could definitely go receiver, but no, they go quarterback instead. Wow.
All right. Well, that's definitely surprising. I didn't think Jordan Love was going to be a first round pick, honestly, like at all. I didn't think he would, but I guess the and Packers, either we should be really worried about Aaron Rodgers or we should be really excited about Jordan Love because they see something in him, or I don't know, but yeah, this definitely makes me question Rodgers for the future. I mean, You try to sell him now in Dynasty because you think something's up, like he's got one year, 2 years left? I mean, he didn't put up great numbers last year anyways. And then if they didn't get help at receiver, I mean, he's probably not going to put up better numbers than he did last year.
Well, here we go. So Schefter, or somebody tweeted this out. So apparently Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show earlier today. And this is what he said on the show. We haven't picked a skill player in the first round in 15 years. So that would be kind of cool.
I guess he didn't know.
But then he also said, is this actually going to happen now, though? He said, whoever the pick is, they'll track down his phone number and welcome him to the team tonight. Does that still happen? Does he still do that?
Let's hold him to that. Let's see if that happens.
Now that they've picked his successor, does he still reach out to him and say, welcome to the team?
Yeah. Well, he said that on air. If he doesn't, oof. I think that tells it all, right?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Wow. I'm glad we stayed on for that.
Yeah, seriously. I don't get that pick at all. I mean, I know I'm not alone. A lot of people aren't going to get that pick. This seems like a case to me, like a team just outsmarting themselves. Like,
I mean, it's possible. Whatever team still needed a quarterback, like I don't know, whatever team was next. Who really would have desperately wanted a quarterback? And you say, hey, Love's still there. We'll take him in the first round. I mean, what team is that? Like Indianapolis, maybe, or
I mean, but you just signed Phillip Rivers, so I mean, unless you're like thinking to the future, but and you still have Jacoby Brissett. You really need to trade up to get Jordan Love? You're the Colts? I'm trying to think of a team that I think the Packers just played themselves, honestly.
Yeah, they traded up. More questionable, not just the pick, but the trade. Like you said, that's pretty questionable.
You traded up. You just pissed off your franchise quarterback. Like, what are you doing?
That'll be interesting. That'll be interesting to see his reaction. I can't wait.
Yeah, this is a very good first round for your Dolphins.
Tua and call it a day.
Exactly.
All right, so I got to get online. I got to go to Amazon or wherever and start pre-ordering my Tua jersey. So if you'll excuse me.
Yeah. Definitely. All right. Well, have fun with that.
Oh, Oh, I will. I'll love it all up until the actual season, but we have to see how he does. But
I think you're going to be fine. I think he's going to be fine.
yeah, I think so. I have faith. All right, so this has been round one, and still more reaction. We'll get to the rest later, but for now, definitely a lot to come out on Rotoballer. A lot of content, a lot of breakdown reaction, instant reactions. So check out all weekend long Rotoballer.com for obviously reaction articles, but also our rankings will be updated as soon as humanly possible, as soon as things get wrapped up on the draft, which is in a couple days. So all the latest and greatest, this is where to be. All right, y'all, thanks for watching.